Down the corridors of the asylum, Peter and Robert wandered. "And these," said Peter, "are where we keep the trolls we've been grafting human traits to." And he opened a steel door and pushed Robert into an airlock. "Just need to repressurize. Don't want anything to, escape." "Why are you showing all this to me?" asked Robert. "Because it's fun. Look." And the inner door swung open to reveal a room full of dust and cloud. "If you watch closely," said Peter, "you'll see some of the more human trolls come together. I will warn you, they can be a bit, sexual. "Right," said Robert. Out of the midst of the mist, he could just make out a vast figure with a cast-iron head, something between a child's toy and a fairground attraction. The head of the figure turned from side to side, mouth wide open, and at the extreme end of each turn, it ejected a tiny bundle from between ivory teeth, a bundle that screamed. Every bundle a young baby, every baby caught by a running little man with a net.
"What the hell's that?" gasped Robert.
"I call it the baby boomer," said Peter. "It's the idea that you're not complete without a baby, the broody instinct gone wrong." The baby boomer stopped suddenly to look at Peter.
"Come here, my lovely. I've got a lovely young'un coming. Just for you, he smells beautifully of fresh toast. Just think how complete he'll make you. You'll never amount to anything without one."
"I've already got one, thank you," said Peter.
"Yes," said the boomer, "and you abandoned it and the mother, and that eats you up inside."
And in response, Peter said something very rude, with a gesture to match, and the image faded. "It seemed to know you," Robert said.
"No," said Peter.
"Does that to anyone.
The next little monster is over there, but I don't think you'll want to look. I'll be back in a moment."
Peter ran into the mist, above which was a neon sign. "Danger. Sanitary towels." A second later, Peter returned, struggling with something that had wrapped itself around his face. He gave a great gasp as he ripped the liner from his mouth.
"What the hell's over there?" demanded Robert.
"I call it the monstrous menstruator, and you just don't want to know."
"Are there many more like that?"
"That's it for the female side. We'll pass into the more general areas set aside for guilt and shame before we check the male quarter. Ah, here's the couple's quarter," which seemed at first sight to be perfectly normal. It was just two people sitting opposite ends of a table. But as Robert looked closer, the man turned into a lizard, and the woman into a cow. The lizard kept saying,
"I'm so sorry, this has never happened before. I'm so sorry, this has never happened before. I'm so sorry, this has never happened before."
"I call him the impotent iguana. He was a man, but his shame turned him into a lizard."
"Who is it he's with?"
"Ask her." Sir Robert did. "Excuse me, who are you?"
"Piss off!"
"She's the tension tearaway, or the frustrated Frisian."
"No!"
They left the couple and carried on to the male quarter.
I might have to send you ahead," said Peter.
"Why?"
"Well, it's very male out there, and, well, I'd rather not look if I don't have to. The next corridor is for the, well, shall we say, the effervescent ejaculator."
"I'd rather you didn't."
"I've got a towel, just in case."
We will brush over what Robert saw there, for it was the worst kind of fireman's hose, and something of a mess. As they returned to the airlock, Peter suddenly shouted,
"Don't move!"
Robert froze and whispered,
"What is it?"
"You've trodden in an idea. Let me see. Now, it's all right. It's just a little foot fetish. It'll drop off when it's done. No, don't try to kick it off. It'll only cling on tighter." Back in the main body of the building, Peter became expansive again.
"This is the Department of Discontinued Ideas, the growth room of progressive thought, and a chill-out room for the vague spaces of indeterminacy. And through here is my pet project, the Genital Redesign Unit."
"Oh, please," said Robert, "don't tell me all about it."
"I've decided that as we're looking at ways to make people change shape, we might as well create new templates for the idealised version of humankind. As we can change shape, we'll make some changes. And the human genitals are so badly designed. I've got some schematics if you'd like to look."
"No, thanks. I think I'd rather you got on with the torture."
Oh, Robert, I'm not going to torture you. I want to talk to you. We're both men of the world. We can have a little chat, can't we?
Sure.
Good, good. Let's have a coffee.